You're listening to Monday Night's Arena. In 2 weeks' time, The Veiled Prophet, a 19th century opera by Irish composer Charles Villiers Stanford, will be performed at the Wexford Opera Festival. The conductor on the evening will be David Brophy. This opera is based on the romance poem Lalla Rookh by Thomas Moore, the Irish poet and songwriter. And for the first time ever, The Veiled Prophet will be sung in English, as Stanford originally intended almost 140 years ago. Professor Jeremy Dibble has been instrumental in this recreation of an almost lost opera, and he joins me now from a studio in the University of Durham. Just before we get into the opera itself, Jeremy, that Thomas Moore poem, you know, when I think of Thomas Moore, I think of short little ballads that will make beautiful little songs, but Lalla Rookh is a totally different animal altogether. This is a big, sprawling epic.
Yes, it's a great big anthology of prose poems, actually. There are four of them. And one of the tales that is sung in Lalla Rookh is The Veiled Prophet of Khorasan. But, I mean, we have to remember Thomas Moore was a, you know, highly literary man. He wasn't just a collector of folk songs.
Yeah, so this in some ways is just another aspect of Moore, but maybe not one that we're that aware of.
Yeah, I think so. And, I mean, Stanford certainly chose this poem to set, partly I think because it was romantically interesting for a grand opera, but I think it's because, being an Irishman himself, he wanted to have an Irish source for his opera.
Ah, right, so that was why he went to the Thomas Moore.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit more about Stanford himself. I think it's probably safe to say most people will associate him with choral music.
Yeah, I mean, if you're somebody like me who grew up as a church chorister, I sang in cathedrals as a teenager and in my 20s, everybody will have heard of Stanford writing for the Anglican liturgy. I mean, his church music is still some of the finest ever written. I think nobody would probably dispute that. And I mean, this isn't just English church music. I think it's church music around the world. And yes, he's associated very much with music for choral societies. Some people may know his wonderful part song, The Bluebird, which is very commonly sung, and it's a masterpiece, an undoubted masterpiece. But they're probably not familiar with Stanford, the opera composer.
And how big an opera composer, or how prolific a composer of operas was he?
Well, in the end, he produced about 9.5 operas. One of them he didn't finish, which was based on Hoffmann's The Miner of Falun. But there are 9 extant operas, and they're very varied. Most of them are in English, including his Irish opera, Seamus O'Brien, which is probably his biggest hit.
But let's go then and talk a little bit more about The Veiled Prophet here. This is an Oriental tale. Are we in a similar... You said that it was a grand opera that he was giving us here, so we're looking at big themes. We're looking at the kind of stuff that Verdi might have done in Aida and operas of that scale. Are we on that size with Stanford and The Veiled Prophet?
We are most certainly. I think it's worth remembering that, I mean, this was Stanford's first opera.
His very first composition.
Yeah, well, not his first composition. I mean, he'd grown up, of course, in Dublin. He was born in Herbert Street. And one of the things he'd enjoyed, I think, above everything else, and after all, he was associated with the two Church of Ireland cathedrals of Christchurch and St. Patrick's. And I think that's where he got a lot of his education to begin with. Mm. But his main watering hole, as it were, culturally speaking, was the Theatre Royal, where the touring operas from London used to come every year. And this is where he got his taste for the stage and for the opera. You know, he knew his Verdi. Later on, of course, he knew his Wagner as well. He went to the first cycles of The Ring in Bayreuth in 1876. And when he came back from his studies in Germany in the mid-1870s, you know, he started writing chamber music and songs and church music, but the thing he really wanted to get his teeth into was opera.
And in the case of The Veiled Prophet, then, what is the epic tale, if you can give it to us in shorthand, that he's telling?
It's actually more based his tale on actually a true story from about the eighth century, when we have this sort of fanatic Persian by the name of Al-Makana, who tried to combine, I think, Zoroastrianism and Islam together, and as being seen as a heretic. He was eventually suppressed by the caliph. But he holed up in a castle in Persia where he had his followers. And really the opera tells of how his followers really become less and less enamored by him. But actually, as they do, he then tricks them with an illusion. This is very much in the third act.
Yeah.
And he then tells them to go back into the palace to take refreshment, and it's poisoned.
Ah, right.
So they're all poisoned. He then finally jumps down a well, and the caliph marches into the castle triumphantly.
Yeah, so there is that epic quality to it.
And yes, quite, and there's a love story as well, you know.
But there are dark themes there clearly as well.
Yeah, I mean, I always think it has strangely contemporary resonances with things like the Jonestown poisoning. You know, they all...
These kind of cult situations,
that's right,
and cult stories.
They all committed suicide together, didn't they?
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of that, and maybe a bit of David Koresh at Waco, and...
Yeah.
Yes, it's strangely contemporary in a way.
What then does Stanford give us in terms of music for that? How you think of those, you know, think of the Bluebird, as you said earlier on, and indeed choral music. Do we get wonderful, great vocal lines, or how does...
Yes, it's full of big tunes. I mean, it is a true grand opera, and I would say probably for the last part of the 19th century, it's the first great grand opera in English. I mean, there are some tremendously big roles. I mean, these are not for the faint-hearted. I mean, the singers who are going to be singing these roles at Wexford need all their stamina and all their great voice production to bring these roles off.
Yeah, the Polish baritone Simon Myślinski is one of those involved as well.
Yes, well, he'll be singing McKenna, I think, and this is an enormous role.
Yeah, and then Sinead Campbell-Wallace, she's playing the priestess, and Gavin Ring, the tenor, is involved there as well. So
yeah,
they have their jobs cut out for them.
Oh, Zelika's got plenty of top C's, and
Zelika plays the
role of the diva, yeah.
Yeah, that's the priestess role, is it?
Zelika, yes. Okay. And you see, McKenna's got sort of love designs on Zelika, of course,
right.
And he's in conflict with the tenor Azim, who's Zelika's real lover.
The Gavin Ring.
And it goes on, you know.
Well, let me just finish up, though, by getting you to tell me a little bit about the kind of detective work that you had to do here, because we keep saying it's the first time it's been sung in English, yet it has been performed previously. So maybe explain that linguistic difference to me, and then how you went about unearthing the music that people will hear in Wexford.
Well, I think one of the things that was planted very early on with Stanford when he was in Dublin was that he heard an English company come over and sing opera in English. We're talking about the mid-1860s or something like that. And I think he rather enjoyed this idea because he felt it was more communicative to audiences. They actually understood what was going on. And so when he came back from Germany, he started The Veiled Prophet, and he wrote it in English, and he offered it to a man in London called Carl Rosa, who was also known for trying to perform not just English opera, as in opera in English, but also foreign opera in English as well.
So translations of Verdi and the big grand opera that people
absolutely,
knew at that time.
Absolutely, yes.
And which would generally have been in Italian, possibly some French.
Well, I mean, in fact, everything was, almost everything was in Italian, actually. Even German opera was sung in Italian.
Yeah.
Bizarre though it may seem. But Stanford offered it to Rosa, and Rosa, I think, took one look at it and thought, crikey, this is quite an ambitious piece. I think I'm not quite ready for this yet. So Rosa turned it down, and Stanford, being an ambitious man, I mean, he was a real go-getter. He wasn't shy. He went across to Germany and persuaded a man called Ernst Frank to produce the opera at Hanover, which he did in 1881. And it received about three performances there in German, in German translation. And then I think Stanford hoped that it might come back and be done in English. But ironically, when it finally did get another performance in London at Covent Garden in 1893, it was done in Italian.
There you go. So German and Italian. So now we have the English version.
Yeah.
Where does that come from, by the way? That's the original.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's right. We were faced with, first of all, a question of how to get the performing materials together, or whether it would even be possible to get the performing materials together. So,
and by which you mean both the music and the libretto of the book.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I did a lot of detective work, mainly in London. And I went to places like the Royal College of Music, Boosey and Hawkes, who were Stanford's original publishers. And it was a question of seeing whether, first of all, we could do the opera, whether we could actually do it in some complete version. Because, for example, the Italian version of 1893 is lost. We don't know where that is. So we were faced with looking at the first published vocal score and seeing whether we could get that to tally with the autograph manuscript, which is in the Royal College of Music and the British Library. And after a bit of patient detective work, we found that it was going to be possible. So it was then a matter of getting the score properly photographed, and then I had to work on the score for about 7 months.
Yeah, and I know that you have done this with Stanford's music before, so I suppose you probably know things like his handwriting and things like that you could work out what was going on.
Yeah.
Must be very exciting, though, for you to get it from that point and all that detective work to a point where you're actually going to see it on stage.
Oh, it's fantastic. I was over in Dublin about a week or so ago with the conductor, David Brophy, in the orchestra, and we were going through the score because it's quite a big piece. Mm. And it was just thrilling to hear this music come alive again.
And that's Professor Jeremy Dibble talking to us about Charles Villiers Stanford's The Veiled Prophet, which will be performed at the National Opera House, 5 p.m. That on the 28th of October in Wexford. There's a pre-show talk by Jeremy at 3:45. Full details on wexfordopera.com. That's our lot for this evening. Paula Shields, Liam Murphy researched. Brian Moss was the broadcast coordinator. Dave Gibson on sound this evening, and tonight's programme produced by Sinead Egan. Talk to you tomorrow at 7. John Creedon's on the way.